Game on is right. Our next guest begins his 34th season calling the NFL in prime time with Thursday night's Bears-Packers game season opener on NBC. He'll also call the season opener for the Super Bowl champion Patriots as they host the Steelers on Sunday Night Football on NBC. We'd like to welcome back. It is Al Michaels. You got a busy week, Al.
Yeah, it's going to be great, though. You know, and the schedule came out, Pete. We looked at the opening game, and it couldn't be any more perfect. You know, 100th season, the Bears and the Packers. We'll take the Bears and the Packers anytime, but especially under these circumstances. And then, you know, as you know, what normally would take place is the Super Bowl champion would get to open at home on Thursday, but they decided this year, the league decided to, with the special circumstances here, have the Packers do it, and then the Patriots. The unveiling of a banner. They'll have to wait until Sunday, but it'll be exciting there, too. And we've got two great games, and what a way to begin.
Al, we are so pumped here in Chicago. The 100th NFL season, oldest rivalry in the NFL, Bears-Packers Thursday night football to kick off the season. Do you get pumped for a game like this, or is it just work for you?
No, it's exciting for me because I've loved sports ever since I was a kid. That's why I got into the business to begin with, and I've never not felt that way. So I get excited. If I wasn't doing the game, I would still be excited to watch it. So for us, it's going to be great. I love it. You know, every week, the greatest thing about this job is you walk into the stadium, and when we get there, you know, there are very few people in the stadium, just the workers and a few players are hanging out. And then it begins to fill up, and the lights come on, and it gets a little darker, and the place fills up, and the music starts, and all of that, and then you get the kickoff. And it's exciting. I mean, I still get exhilarated by it. I still love it, and especially in this circumstance.
Right.
You know, coming into this city, and, you know, we were here, we had four games, and it was great because, you know, for a bunch of years, as you know, we didn't come to Chicago. We had a long drought, and the Bears weren't very good, as you know.
Right.
And it's great to be back here because it's exciting, it's exhilarating. I can feel it in the city, and the team is great to watch, too.
Al, I'm a season ticket holder for the Chicago Bears, Section 251, 10 rows above the north end zone time clock. Now, you did many Bears games last year, the last few years. We have high expectations for the team this year. If we don't make it to the Super Bowl, we're going to be very upset.
Well, I understand that, and because when you make that sort of an improvement, when you go from, you know, 5 wins to 12 wins, and then they're in every game, and there wasn't one time last year that the Bears weren't in the game. I mean, you know as well as anybody, what, 14 points in the four regular season games and a one-point loss in the playoffs. So the Bears played 17 games last year, and every one of them, they either won or it went down to the wire.
Right.
So the expectations are huge. There's no doubt about it. I mean, here in Chicago, the expectations are big because of what happened last year, because, you know, Trubisky begins another year. Khalil Mack is now here for the second year. So I understand that. But the expectations, when you talk about over the top, how about Cleveland, where they really expect to, you know, go from the dregs
right,
to the Lombardi Trophy. So, you know, that's the great thing, though, about the National Football League. Everybody thinks they have a shot. The way things turn around, I mean, it used to be years and years ago, you had no chance to go from last to first. Now it seems to happen every year in some division. And in the Bears' case, obviously, four straight last-place finishes to first place in a 12-4 record.
Right.
So I get it. I understand it. And we'll see what happens. We'll see how it plays out.
Al, I've been married to a girl for 18 years that bleeds green and yellow. She's from Wausau, Wisconsin. So we've been talking trash for the last 2 weeks. The problem is, the Packers don't have a very good team, but the problem is Aaron Rodgers. This guy can always turn a game around. Is he one of your top 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And by the way, I would dispute that they're not a very good team. I think the Packers are one of those teams that will be better than people think they're going to be because, obviously, the last 2 years didn't make the playoffs, under 500, coaching change, Aaron Rodgers. You know, when you look at him last year, I mean, he was never right. It looked like he was out for the season on opening day, and then he comes back in the second half, and obviously you know what took place there.
Right.
He still had a great year, only two interceptions all season long. So I think they're pretty good. I you know, last year Defensively, they had a lot of issues. I think they've begun to solve those, thanks in part to one of your old guys, Adrian Amos, who comes there to help shore up that secondary. So, you know, I think what's the spread in this game? It's something like 3 points, which tells you
it's very
that,
close.
That right, the odds makers and the fans, because the odds makers base their odds on how the fans are betting, that they think this is going to be a close game. When you look at this game and you see 3 points, that's what you give to the home team as an advantage. So they're basically saying on a neutral field,
yeah,
this would be even. Well, I don't know that it would be. I mean, Chicago is the better team in my mind. But I think this game is going to be very close.
Well, I feel like that the Packers' defense is still mediocre, but Aaron Rodgers can score in an instant. That's the problem. You have to be careful with Aaron Rodgers. Now, you mentioned that he's in your top 10. Who's your number one quarterback of all time? Is it Tom Brady? Is it Joe Montana? Who's your number one?
Well, you know, I'm number one for 1 through 10 and put him in a place. I'm a guy who says, you know what, there are people who belong in a conversation. And, you know, when you talk about, like, the greatest hockey player of all time, I mean, to me, it's always going to be Wayne Gretzky, but other people will say, oh, no, it's somebody else. It's Mario Lemieux. It's Bobby Hull. You name it. So, to me, to say number 1 through 10, I don't do that. But I will say this. Obviously, if you're going to take your top 10, you know, you've got Montana, you got Elway, you got Marino. Hey, I'll tell you another guy I put in there. Sid Luckman.
How's that sound? Number 42. Yes.
Well, I put him in there because, Pete, I mean, we keep forgetting that the National Football League did exist 60, 70, 80 years ago, and even 100 years ago. And one of the great things about Luckman was that when you go through that Chicago Bear record book, he's still in there.
Right.
I mean, he still holds records.
Right.
How is that possible? How is that possible? So, to me, he's on my Mount Rushmore for the Bears. I put him in there, and obviously, you know, you can name a lot of the rest. Montana, obviously, is in there. And, you know, look, if ever anybody said Brady's number one, who's going to argue with it? I mean,
he's
just been phenomenal, and he's a freak. I mean, here he is, 42 years old, and he's still at the top of his game.
And you can't forget about Peyton Manning, who's been doing all those commercials with the Bear guys from Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you've seen those online.
Yeah, I may put him number one in terms of doing feature pieces. I mean, he is. Yeah, Peyton's fantastic. He was a great player. We loved our meetings with him. We learned more in our meetings with him than almost anybody. And he's done a great job on this series that he's doing going around the country, not only the promos, but he's naturally funny. He gets it. And, in fact, he came out to Southern California where I live, and we got together one day and we did one of his features for the ESPN Plus platform on the history of Monday Night Football and football on television. Mm-hmm. So that's fun. I look forward to that. And he was great. He does a lot of homework. He asks the right questions. He's very engaging. Oh, yeah, Peyton's on that list for sure.
We're talking with Al Michaels in his 34th season doing NFL primetime games. Your biggest moment as a broadcaster? I asked this question online, and I asked people, what do you think it was? And most people said Miracle on Ice 1980, but you tell us.
For sure. Not even close. And that's one I will put as number one and not in any conversation. That is on top of everything. Pete, I mean, this was far more than a hockey game. This galvanized the country at a time when a lot of bad things were happening here. You know, inflation was running rampant, gas lines, hostages being held in Iran.
Right.
The Cold War was very cold. We were threatening to boycott their Olympics, and we wound up doing that in 80, and they paid us back by not coming to Los Angeles in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
So it got the country so excited, and here it is 40 years later. It's the 40th anniversary, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And people still talk about it. They love it. The movie Miracle has kept it alive in terms of people. You know, people who don't remember it see the movie and get what really took place at that point.
Oh.
So when it comes to, I mean, well, I've had a chance to do some amazing events. I mean, incredible events, Super Bowls and World Series and NBA Finals and all the rest. And Hagler against Hearns in 1985, one of the great, you know, matches in the history of boxing. But nothing will ever top Lake Placid.
Did you practice that line ahead of time? Do you believe in miracles, or that just came out of your mouth?
No, I never practiced a line. And this is, you know, 1980, Pete. And All I know is that when Kenny Dryden and I, and Ken had just retired from the Montreal Canadiens, and he was my partner during those telecasts, and we were walking over to the arena just a few blocks away, and I remember the conversation was along the lines of, boy, if it can only be like 3-1 Soviets midway through the second period, that won't sound so bad. Knew that, you know, the Soviets were fantastic. He played against them. I felt that that we had zero chance to win the game. Just wanted to keep it close. The team was good. They created a nice little story leading up to that game. But they really, to me, had no chance. And so when you look at that game, and people forget some of the most incredible things about that game. The Soviets outshot the United States 39-16.
Oh,
that's
wow.
A 2.5-1 ratio. So how many games will you see where the team that has 16 shots beats the team with 39? So
never.
The Soviets really dominated play for the first, I'd say, 50 minutes, and then the last 10 minutes of the third period after Ruzioni scores the tie-breaking goal, they were crazy. And that's when, you know, that's when you had, the Soviets were skating insanely short shifts, trying to get the right guys out on the ice. So at the end of that game, and the place is just going nuts, and
right.
doing it in the field house, and we're on a wooden platform in the front of the balcony, and I feel like the thing is going to collapse. So it was all I could do to concentrate on the game. And at the end of the game, you know, the Soviets had the puck in our end, and I'm thinking, you know, hey, they could tie the game here, so you've got to be ready. I'm just doing the play-by-play.
Right.
And when the puck came out the center ice with a few seconds to go, I had a couple of seconds to formulate something, and I didn't think about something to say. All I thought in my brain, the word miraculous came in, and miraculous somehow got morphed into, do you believe in miracles? And frankly, I mean, that was all part and parcel of announcing the game, and if you asked me 5 minutes after the game, what did I say at the end of the game? I couldn't have told you.
I mean,
it plays okay.
When I watch that video, and I go to YouTube every once in a while, and I've seen the movie Miracle with Kurt Russell, I mean, it's just, you get chills when you said that line and the crowd's going crazy. It's just one of those moments that you remember in sports forever.
Well, you know, you get lucky, and I mean, that was serendipitous for me, Pete, because, you know, if I said something stupid or not memorable or whatever, who knows what would have happened, you know. I mean, the story would have been phenomenal. But, yeah, there's no question. I mean, for me, it's a cool thing. It's a very cool thing. But really, I see that stuff back now, and, you know, I watched it a lot of times, too, and I'm almost in the third person.
Yeah.
I'm almost watching it as a guy outside. Look, all I can tell you is that sometimes you have a rabbit's foot in your pocket, and I had a big one that night.
And, Al, how many years have you been doing football with Chris? Is it 9, 10 years?
This is 11. Can
11 years. 11 years with Chris Collinsworth. Now, I read this a few years ago, and I just want to know if it's true. Back in 1988, you were getting ready to broadcast the 1988 MLB All-Star Game in Cincinnati. Do you know what I'm talking about here? Is this a
true?
Is this a true story? Can you tell it?
Yes, but Chris has a slightly different version, but he wanted to get engaged that night to Holly.
Okay.
Holly Bankepper, and he's married to Holly now, and she's fantastic. He wanted to announcement, and he contends that he was trying to go into the public address announcer's booth and ask him to put it up on the scoreboard at Riverfront Stadium. This is the All-Star Game in 1988.
Right.
And I contend that he comes into the booth. I knew him a little bit at that point. I'd covered a couple of Bengals games, and when I did college football, I did some Florida games in which he played. And I contend that he wanted me and Tim McCarver and Jim Palmer to announce it on the broadcast. And I said, Chris, that's a little difficult. So obviously we couldn't do it. I don't think they put it up on the board either. But that night, it's true, he did get engaged, and he was walking across the bridge, which connects the stadium to Kentucky.
Okay.
It's called the Suspension Bridge, and nearly dropped the ring through the grating. It's one of those 100-year-old bridges. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was a fumble, and that would have been a heck of a fumble into the Ohio River. But there's the story, and I'm sticking to my version of it.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, just carrying that engagement ring in your pocket, every guy can relate to that because it just burns a hole in your pocket, and you don't want to drop it. Wow.
Oh, no kidding.
And, Al, you're in Chicago right now.
Yes.
Are you going to stop by Chicago Cut, order the 48-ounce bone-in ribeye?
Well, the answer to the first part of the question is, of course. The second one is a slightly less. Whatever it is, it'll be delicious. I know that for sure.
Man, I appreciate you taking time and coming on the show tonight. We appreciate it. Al Michaels, Thursday Night Football, NBC, and then Sunday night again, double duty this week with Chris Collinsworth. Thank you, Al. Have a great night.
You too, B. Take care, man.
You've got 10 seconds.